Jesus tells a parable about guests invited to a wedding. But rather than obeying the king's invitation to attend a joyful feast, they prefer to plod along with the mundane task of everyday life. One man, he tends to his farm, another, he's looking after his business. These invited guests are so preoccupied with the task of making ends meet that they forget to meet the chief end of life itself. They neglect the invitation from their king to come and honor his son. They're so busy striving and surviving that they've neglected their thriving. So the king sends his servants out to invite people in right off the street, both the good and the bad, and to fill the place up. Then the king comes to look at his guests. One doesn't have the right clothes on for the celebration. So the king has him tied up hand and foot and thrown outside in the dark, where he will cry and gnash his teeth. Is anybody else troubled by this? I'm not alone. Oh, thank goodness. You know, I went straight to the bookshelf and I got the Amy Vanderbilt Complete Book of Etiquette here. And I looked it up. And, you know, neither she nor Miss Manners nor Amy Vanderbilt, not one of them recognizes as this is an appropriate response from a host. I mean, no matter how rudely a guest might be dressed, this binding and blinding, occasioning this whining and grinding, it's just bad manners. I mean, this seems crazy, doesn't it? Does this seem crazy to you? I mean, the king expects these folks to drop what they're doing immediately and come as they are to this wedding, and then he responds so harshly to what somebody's wearing? You know, whoa now, I got to tell you, I might have second thoughts about attending this wedding myself. I don't know if you'll like my tie. You know, it doesn't sound like a very safe place to go. Does it to you? I mean, gosh, but it's not safe to stay away. You're going to get your city burned. How on earth are we going to understand this passage of Scripture? The word of the Lord? Yowzer. You know, but this has nothing to do with manners at a wedding. This is one of those parables. It's about life. First, life's a celebration. Life is supposed to be a celebration. And it's the king who invites us to this celebration. And God, of course, is the king who invites us to enjoy the celebration of this abundant life. That's what it's supposed to be. It's a come-as-you-are affair. Some are so immersed in their work and their toil, they ignore the invitation. They're not here today. They have yet to realize the truth of the words of the great American theologian Lily Tomlin. Even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. They are so enamored with the temporal attractions of power and prestige and privilege and pocketbook that they overlook the king's invitation to honor his son and to enjoy life in the presence of the king. Of course, nobody in this town has any power, privilege, pocketbook kind of issues, do they? You never see that in Washington, D.C. But notice, too, that this invitation is not earned. It's extended to everyone. There's nothing to prove. Those who do come, it's not because they deserve it. They just show up. Our worthiness is based solely on our response to the king's invitation. That's grace. And in come all sorts of folks. The used, the abused, the utterly screwed up, the good, the bad, the ugly. In we come right off the street. You and I arrive here just as we are. We're the king's guests. We come seeking some joy in what would otherwise be a rather mundane existence. We come seeking a measure of grace in our daily toil. We come hungry for a Savior because we know we need one. This passage also echoes an ancient baptismal rite that was practiced in the early church. At that time, adult baptism was the norm. An inquirer would study the faith for up to 3 years before being baptized. And on that special day, the inquirer would leave the congregation gathered as we are here and enter a separate baptismal room, usually right next door, accompanied there by a deacon or a deaconess, whichever would be appropriate. There they would take off all their clothes and they would go under the water in a pool there and rise on the other side to scenes of the new heavens and the new earth surrounding them there. Then the deacon or deaconess would help them back into the new clothes of white, and the believer would be brought back into the assembly of believers to be greeted by those who had also committed themselves to life lived in the realm of God, life with God as king and no other. Those who had also passed through the same waters of transformation. You know, it's a funny thing about God's grace. Getting in is free, but staying the same is not a viable option. God calls us to come as we are into this community, the church, but we're not allowed here to stay as we are. We're not allowed to come into the community of the Prince of Peace and not seek that peace ourselves. We're invited to the celebration. You can't just be a gawker along the edge. We're called to be a people in celebration. It's not enough just to show up. You know, every so often my wife Pam and I will look at those ads for the big cruise ships and the paper looks like a big motel that floats. And I hear that we would be wined and dined day and night, a concept I'm not totally opposed to. I am fond of boats, I'll confess. For some years I had a Hobie catamaran sailboat. You know, it's kind of got the twin hulls and a lot of sail, and it's fast. And a friend of mine, Dean Lindsay, and I, a colleague across town, took this boat down to a lake for an afternoon sail. The wind was blowing pretty good that day. There were white caps on the waves, but the chop was just 2 inches high. It was a perfect day for a really fast ride on this sailboat. I explained to Dean that I would need him to get into the trapeze seat. Put this on, I told him. And his eyes got a little big at that point. And then I began to explain to him how we were going to tie him into this. And this hook here was going to be attached to a wire that was going to go up to the top of the mast. And he would be hanging from that wire and have his feet against the hull, kind of out over the water. Well, his eyes really got big at that point. He said, I'd rather not, he told me. Can't I just sit here and ride? He brought a book. I explained to him that that just wasn't an option. If the boat was going to stay upright, he had to be hanging out over the water here. He had to be hanging on the wire. But to take heart, I'd be on the other wire right beside him here. You know, sailing on my little sailboat, it's not a spectator sport. Everyone aboard has got to do it. You can't just get on for a ride. And that's what Jesus is saying here about the church. This is not a spectator ride. This is not a place to watch somebody else have a celebration. This is not Burger King where you can have it your way. Not at all. This is the King of Kings who's inviting us to have life God's way. This is no cruise ship where we get to sit back and be wined and dined. No, this discipleship stuff, it's like sailing my little sailboat. Everyone aboard needs to be in the action, hanging from the wire, suspended out over the water. It's not altogether safe. It's not. Don't let anybody tell you discipleship is safe. It's scary sometimes. But it's also fun, and we can be ready, literally, for the ride of our lives. It's not safe, but still we're called to pull on our wedding clothes and join the celebration. And the celebration, it starts right now. It's not this pie in the sky, by and by kind of thing. Not at all. It starts now. This passage lends insight into the nature of God's grace then. For grace tends to shake things loose. God is not concerned with maintaining the status quo. God has no interest in maintaining anything just the way it is. If God was respectful of the status quo, history and nature would have long ago ground to a halt. No, God compels us into this celebration that life's supposed to be, and into the radical change of orientation within us that that necessitates. That transformation, it starts with ourselves. We're called to come as we are to this cosmic restaurant where Christ himself is served as food and drink. But we can't just stay as we are. We're invited to come as we are to the cleansing waters of baptism. But we cannot just stay as we are. Jesus invites us to come as we are, then to the degree we're depressed, he calls us to joy. To the degree that we're false, he calls us to truth. To the degree that we're evil, he calls us to goodness. To the degree that we're unfaithful, he calls us to honor. To the degree we're polluted, he calls us to purity. To the degree that we're unforgiving, he calls us to grace. To the degree that we're oppressive, he calls us to freedom and justice. To the degree that we are self-centered, he calls us to center our lives on him. We come as we are, but we cannot stay as we are. Or we will find ourselves cast into the darkness where we will cry and gnash our teeth. So friends, how are we growing in the grace of God? That's hard work, friends. You know, I don't know if God's invitations to you work like they do to me. Whenever God gives me an invitation, I don't care for it much. Do you have that experience ever? I mean, it's not like a, you know, one of those Flutter Pony kind of things or Care Bear. It's just not, doesn't work like that. It's, God's usually asking for something between, you know, inconvenient and sacrificial. That's just the nature of these invitations. Is that your experience too? And gosh, you know something else. I know what the next invitation is for me. I don't care for it either. Maybe you too know God's next invitation, the next one on the list that God has for you. You know what that invitation is right now? And you're kind of holding it off because it's at least inconvenient, if not more. We're holding it back. So what's it going to be? What's it going to be? Abundant life. The next few steps are inconvenient, if not sacrificial. This is the fruit of grace right here. I want to have it my way. I want it to be comfortable. I'd rather be complacent. Crying and gnashing of teeth. That's where it's going. So what's it going to be? What's it going to be? Come on. Get in the seat. Let's hang from the wire. Let's take the ride of our lives. Let us pray. Lord God, give us the courage to crawl into the seat that you have given us, to put on the wedding clothes and really join the celebration, to give ourselves fully to the abundant life that you desire for us, to take up your inconvenient, sacrificial invitations. Bless us in that. Encourage us in that, we pray. Amen.